Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Earlier today, Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey issued a public demand for my resignation by noon tomorrow. I was elected by the people of the city of St. Louis to serve as their sheriff, and I intend to honor that commitment.
That is St. Louis Sheriff Alfred Montgomery there responding yesterday to Attorney General Andrew Bailey, who we are fortunate enough to have on the telephone with us this morning. Mr. Attorney General, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't really have a bone to pick with you, except for the fact that you were actually able to come into the studio with Annie Fry yesterday, and I know she's better looking than I am, but I mean, come on.
Hey, sorry, guys. Love to be in studio and see you next time. I apologize.
Not a big deal. So let's talk about your situation here with the sheriff in St. Louis. Obviously, he has now responded to some of your comments yesterday. Maybe you can repeat some of those for my listeners and tell them why you want him removed from office.
Well, the sheriff has lost the public trust. He took an oath to enforce the laws and ordinances of the city of St. Louis to transport criminal inmates from the jail to their medical appointments, critical medical needs, secure the courthouses and keep them safe, and deliver service to process. And instead, he's out illegally arresting people, disarming citizens in violation of their constitutional rights, mismanaging his office from a financial standpoint, buying more badges plated in gold than he has employees. And on top of all of that, what you see is a complete breakdown in the public trust and confidence in that office. And so it's important for us to take action and move forward. This is transformative change, and we can't allow the corruption to persist in St. Louis. We saw what happened with Kim Gardner when that went on for too long, and it'll take us years to dig out of that mess. And so it's important to take bold action quickly. The state has a safety valve, and it's called the writ of quo warranto. And if the sheriff does not resign by noon today, at 12:01 p.m., I will file petition to have him removed from office, and we will push that forward to its natural conclusion, which will result in him no longer holding office. I respect the will of the voters, but he has betrayed the trust of the voters by not doing the job assigned to him and violating laws that restrict his behavior. I think it's really important to note, at his press conference yesterday, he never denied any of the allegations, and how could he? He has, within the public domain, previously admitted to those allegations. So I'm going to use his own words against him.
Assuming that he doesn't resign, like he said, he's not stepping down, and you have to go ahead and file that. I mean, what's that process like? Is this a court hearing? How long could that take? Do you actually have the power with that to remove him from office?
Absolutely. It's a lawsuit to have him removed from office. This is exactly what we did with Kim Gardner. It's the same kind of lawsuit. Obviously, the claims against the sheriff are different than they were against the circuit attorney, but a judge will be assigned. You know, I would expect that the judges and say, they will all recuse themselves, and that's probably appropriate given that they all have to work with the sheriff and his deputies who are responsible for their safety, security, and the administration of their courthouses. And so the Missouri Supreme Court will assign a new judge to hear this case. We will ask for the judge's immediate order of removal. If the judge declines to do so, then we will commence discovery, and a hearing will be set at some date in the future. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think that these things either get better or they get worse, and it's going to absolutely get worse. For the state, get worse for Sheriff Montgomery. Look, again, by statute, he's different than every other sheriff in the state. 15 elected sheriffs. He's the only one that is forbidden to enforce the criminal laws of the state of Missouri. That is explicit in the statutes that create his office. And yet he's out on the streets arresting people, disarming them in violation of Missouri Constitution Article 1, Section 23 that guarantees our right to keep and bear arms. He's going into the jail and arresting the jail administrator who is lawfully exercising her authority, discharging her official duties. He's diminishing public safety by doing these things, and so it's time for him to go.
Wow. Attorney General Andrew Bailey, our guest. You know, yesterday I heard you use the word kidnapping. What did you mean by that?
Look, if someone who doesn't have authority comes in and handcuffs you and begins moving you to a different location against your will, that is a kidnapping. Now, police officers are immune from that kind of liability if they have probable cause or a warrant to make an arrest. But he is not a licensed peace officer under the laws of the state of Missouri. And again, if you look at the statutes, it's in Chapter 54, he is explicitly prohibited from enforcing the general criminal laws of the state of Missouri. So when he's arresting a jail administrator, cuffing her, and removing her from her office, not only is that creating an unsafe environment in our jail where the worst of the worst are locked up pending adjudication of their criminal cases, but he's interfering with the administration of justice and potentially committing a felony kidnap. And when I say this is going to get worse for the sheriff, that's what I'm talking about.
Wow.
Right now, we're prepared to file a suit.
Yeah.
We get into discovery and we find evidence of criminal behavior, we will absolutely pursue criminal charges. And so he needs to understand it is time for him to go before this gets a lot worse.
Well, I wish it had happened a lot sooner in the Kim Gardner case. Refresh my memory. Did nothing ever came of criminal charges against her, correct?
Well, the Biden DOJ agreed to a deferral agreement with her. So they said, we have a criminal charge, but we're not going to charge her if she agrees to do X, Y, and Z. So good old Biden DOJ, hard at it again. That's how little they thought of the people of St. Louis and the people of the state of Missouri, that they were not even willing to hold her accountable. And again, if you could, the Biden Department of Justice, I'm not talking about the line attorneys who have tough decisions to make. I'm talking about the administration of the Department of Justice under Joe Biden and Merrick Garland. That was the most corrupt I've ever seen any element of government, any institution of government, and it's a shame the way that was weaponized to go at people like President Trump, like Kim Gardner, who destroyed a city off the hook.
Andrew Bailey, Missouri Attorney General, is our guest right now. There was a big win with the U.S. Supreme Court, and that was it basically affirmed Missouri's right to protect children from this crazy gender mutilation that we've been seeing going on here in our state and across the country.
Yeah, and I'm proud to say Missouri led the way on this issue nationally in so many different ways. This all started back in February 2023, just 45 days after I had taken office, when Jamie, the whistleblower there in St. Louis, came and swore out an affidavit making serious and credible allegations about these mutilation clinics harming children by administering powerful, life-altering chemicals like puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones without real knowing parental consent, referring kids under 18 years of age for irreversible, dangerous surgeries to remove body parts to deny those children the ability to ever enjoy the full spectrum of adulthood. They'll never recover. They're victims of this mutilation clinics. We took bold action, started a first kind in the nation investigation into the clinics, called a moratorium, passed a rule that would have provided some level of consumer protection so the patients would understand what these procedures did, have the knowledge they need to make individual healthcare decisions, and ultimately the General Assembly passed Senate Bill 49. Proud to say we were the first state in the nation to defend those kinds of restrictions at the trial court level, and to date we're the only state that has won that trial at the trial court level. Ultimately, last week, the United States Supreme Court handed down a decision that said states have a rational basis to pass these to protect kids, and it is not sex discrimination to say you can't harm minors in this way. And it's a very common sense kind of thing. It's a shame we had to fight that fight against radical progressive activists hell bent on harming children, but the law is now clear, and ultimately Missouri led the way on that. So I'm really proud of the work we've done here in the Show Me State.
Yeah, and finally, I mean, there were some challenges to that decision by Missouri. Are those automatically just thrown out because of this Supreme Court decision?
Yeah, I mean, certainly we will be going to court and say, hey, we now have controlling authority from the highest court in the land. And so those appeals are no longer on, any kind of legitimate legal claim. And that's an argument we can make using the rationale from the United States Supreme Court.
Got it. All right. Well, Attorney General Andrew Bailey, hope to see you in studio again next time. How about that?
Thanks. Appreciate you. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Yes, sir. Talk to you again. Attorney General Andrew Bailey there updating us on what's going on with the sheriff. So I don't know. He's got till noon. He's already said he's not stepping down. So stand by for maybe some breaking news this afternoon when they apply for those quo warranto writs, which should happen a lot sooner to Kim Gardner, to be quite honest with you. All right. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about some wording. I think it's in this big, beautiful bill. I could be wrong. I know it's in some wording coming out of Washington that affects the sale of hemp specifically. And the people who are with the smart approaches to marijuana are all in support of that. We're going to discuss that when we come back.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Stay tuned. All right, I've had local police chiefs here in Missouri. I know they've gone to Jeff City and had conversations with the legislators down there about this Delta 8 product, which is something that contains some amount of THC. It comes from hemp, but it's not really controlled by our full legalization of marijuana and all this, and kids are able to purchase this stuff in some cases. And it looks like the House... the House has passed a bill that is going to deal with Delta 8. It's gonna keep the ban on it intact. And we've got our friends here with us right now is Jordan Davidson with Smart Approaches to Marijuana. He's the head of legislative affairs. Jordan, welcome in.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So maybe you can explain this better than I just did. The House has passed this appropriations bill. What does it do?
So not quite yet. So the Appropriations Committee advanced this bill. The full United States House of Representatives still has to vote on it. But what this bill will do in part is ban Delta 8 THC and other hemp-derived intoxicants that are just like marijuana. I compare these drugs to marijuana as if it were the difference between Coke and Pepsi, for example. And what it will do is take them off of the gas station and convenience store shelves where they're marketed to kids like candy and where anybody of any age, according to federal law, are able to legally purchase them. And this bill says no more. We're going to stop that and we're going to get them off the shelves and keep our kids and community safe.
Yeah. And so this would then be that would be nationwide if that happened. You wouldn't have to worry about state laws on it.
No, yeah, it would be nationwide if this bill passes. We've seen a real kind of troubling patchwork of different policies across the country, and it's really difficult to stay consistent. And so what this ban would do would provide regulatory and really clarity for states on what is permissible and what isn't.
It seems like there have been successful attempts over the years recently where they've been telling these companies, hey, you can't be advertising like this, using these colorful images and things like that that tend to attract children. So how are they able to continue doing this? What was the loophole there?
Yeah, so we have two separate issues here. One is marijuana or THC products in marijuana. Marijuana is still illegal federally, and actually the way that your kind of marijuana dispensary, like you might see in California or Colorado, the marijuana industry puts up all these crazy legal arguments to continue marketing to kids. For example, they'll take people to court who want to say, hey, your products look like they're kid-friendly. And they'll say, hey, actually, we're just providing products for adults that are nostalgic for them. That's one way in which they kind of squirm through the regulations. But what we're talking about that the House is advancing is for hemp-derived intoxicants. And for those of your listeners who aren't aware, hemp is like is very similar to the marijuana plant, just ever so slightly different. And you can use it to make rope and clothing. And so Congress legalized the growing and sale of hemp in 2018 because they thought it wasn't intoxicating, yet they were wrong. A loophole was created, and they basically legalized marijuana, and that's what we're banning.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing. I went to, they had a big, they call it the world's biggest garage sale here locally last year. I went last summer, and I walk up on this table where people can buy booths, and there were what I swear to God it looked like bales of marijuana sitting there, and I shook my head, and I went back to my friend who's a police officer, and I'm like, have you seen this table? He's like, it's driving us crazy, but there's nothing we can do about it because it's that Delta 8 stuff and it's not regulated.
Yep, it's totally legal, and it's really troubling how kids are getting access to it. There are no restrictions on these products. And so what we're saying is, if you want to make rope and clothing out of hemp, be our guest, do whatever you'd like. But if you want to convert it into THC, into addictive, intoxicating drugs that kids are getting access to, we're saying no to that.
Yeah. I just want to be clear on something. The THC content in hemp is much lower, but they figured out ways to enhance that. Am I correct about that?
Yeah, exactly. So what they've basically, to kind of like, from a 30,000 foot view, because there are lots of ins and outs of kind of how this works.
Yes.
But what they've taken the hemp product and most of the intoxicating compounds, the things we're seeing like you saw at that event, are synthetic. And so actually, scarily enough, they take parts of the hemp plant and they actually boil it in battery acid and sometimes pool chemicals. And that creates a chemical synthesis conversion kind of process where you get these intoxicating THC compounds through a synthetic means.
And then everyone adjusts that.
And that is what lawmakers never saw. Right. That is what lawmakers never saw coming.
Yeah, that's crazy. So I know this bill specifically passed the House Appropriations Committee, so it still has obviously to get through the House, the full House, and then I guess the Senate. Timeline on that, what's the likelihood that this actually makes it through?
Yeah, I mean, I think if I could give you a full and complete answer, I'd probably be the best paid person in Washington, D.C. Right, people would be interviewing me for my mystic capabilities.
Yes, yes.
But look, I think at the end of the day, this is what I can tell you. While a lot of people are really passionate about this provision, I think what we're going to see is the larger package. This provision is either going to ride along with it or it's going to be a casualty, right, if people have bigger issues with other aspects of this bill. Now, I know that the House leadership and Republican leadership are dead set on moving these bills as fast as possible, so I expect we'll see them make an attempt to try and do that.
Yeah.
That might not be within the week, but we'll see.
Well, can't hurt. Where can they go for more information on this, Jordan?
Well, you can go to so our website, www.learnaboutsam, that's SAM.org,
okay,
has really great resources on this.
Excellent. Jordan Davidson, thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Can't hurt to reach out to your congresspeople as well and let them know how you feel about it. Quick break. We're back with Taylor Riggs.
I can assure you the administration is actively and closely monitoring the situation in the Strait of Hormuz, and the Iranian regime would be foolish to make that decision.
Yeah, Caroline Leavitt there discussing, obviously, the threat by Iran to shut down the Strait of Hormuz. Of course, I forget, what do they say? Maybe close to 100 tanker ships move through that strait every day, supplying oil to lots of places, including Asia and China. And it would affect something, if they shut it down, it would affect something like 20% of the world's oil supply. Now, the United States does not get any oil from Iran. It might still have some lingering effects, though. The bigger thing you have to look at is the effect it would have on the market. And there's no doubt that it would have some effect on the market. It would also kill Iran's economy because so many of their oil transports come from there. And that is exactly what would have to happen. So we're hoping to check in with Taylor Riggs here from Fox Business. We have not been able to reach her just yet. That's probably her calling in now. And I wanted to ask her how that's affecting the market, because yesterday the market was up 500 points on word of a ceasefire. And then, of course, we've got the futures were mixed today. But let's see. I think we've got her on here. We got Taylor Riggs with us from the Fox Business Network now. Taylor, good morning.
Good morning. Sorry, you know, I'm just running off set because we were doing the opening bell, so that's why I'm late to get to you.
Well,
it's always a pleasure.
No, it's my pleasure, and thank you for making time to do it. I know you're busy all the time. We were just talking about Caroline Leavitt's comments on the possibility of Iran shutting down the Straits of Hormuz, and while that may not affect U.S. oil supplies, it would affect, what, up to 20% of the world's oil supplies, right?
Yeah, you know, I actually don't think that Iran has the willingness or the ability to shut down the Strait of Hormuz, and I'll tell you why. You're absolutely accurate. It does flow through in that strait about 20% of global oil production. But all of Iran's oil goes to Asian markets, mostly China. So China gets a discount for buying Iran's oil. We don't buy Iranian oil. So if they want to punish us, shutting down that strait only punishes China. Oil is Iran's biggest source of revenue. So if they shut that down, they're biting the hand that feeds them. They need money from China to fund their war. And that would make China a very unhappy customer if Iran were to do that. Saudi Arabia also borders that. As you know, so does the UAE and Dubai. And they actually may not let Iran shut that down, even if they tried, because, as you know, the president last month went to the Middle East region and really shored up a lot of support from the Saudis, et cetera. They do not want a nuclear Iran either. So they're thinking, let's not shut this down and escalate tensions. They want to de-escalate. They want to focus on AI and prosperity. They do not want to be caught up in the middle of this war. My other final thought, Saudi Arabia's built a very good pipeline where they can now actually move oil through the Red Sea on the eastern side of them versus the western side through the Strait of Hormuz. So even if they were, if Iran were to try to shut it down, I'm not sure other players in that region would allow Iran to do so. And more importantly, I don't think it would impact us the way it would impact China. And more importantly, Iran's largest source of revenue, which is selling that oil. So for all of those reasons, I'm not worried. Also, the price of oil is telling us they are not worried about it either. We went from almost $80 a barrel to $65. When was the last time that you had a massive conflict in the Middle East and oil prices fell?
I don't know.
This is a market that is telling us that I don't think they're as worried about it as maybe some of the headlines seem to suggest.
Switching gears here a little bit, Taylor, I'm fascinated by this whole interest rate debate, because you have Trump putting more pressure on Jerome Powell to try to cut rates. And he's saying, no, because of all this tariff uncertainty, we can't cut them. But I guess what's confusing is, did they not cut them right before the election? And now all of a sudden, when inflation was so crazy and out of control with Biden in office, and now they're saying, oh, we can't, there's so much uncertainty.
I know. And this is why people are really upset with Jay Powell, you know, and look, Trump nominated him in the first term. And it just, you know, there's just been a lot of frustration with the Federal Reserve. The only good news is that in the last 3 days, I've had three members of the Federal Reserve actually come out and hint that they're open to a July cut. Chris Waller on Friday said he's open to July. Michelle Bowman on Monday said she's open to July. And Austin Goolsbee on Tuesday said that they're not seeing any inflation in the tariff data and that he's open to cutting sooner rather than later, which means July instead of September. So we did hear from Jay Powell yesterday. We'll continue to hear from him today. And he's walking more of that fine line. But I will tell you, most economists that I speak to say they don't let Federal Reserve members, like the three I just mentioned, go out there and hint about a July rate cut if they're not going to do it. So it's very carefully planted that those three are out there hinting at that July cut to prepare the markets for one, which is good because we haven't seen a lot of inflationary data in the tariffs either. So if this is the Federal Reserve that says that they are data dependent, they're looking at the data. The data is telling us that jobs are growing, but growth is slowing and inflation has not yet materialized. They're very close to their 2% target.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, that's good news for all of us who are waiting to refinance, for sure. I mean, but again,
I just hope that it impacts mortgage rates.
Yes.
Last time they cut, the market went the other way. So I agree. It's good news, but I'm cautious.
What are you covering today then on the Big Money Show?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. So we are still following the big, beautiful bill, right? If this is an administration that is so pro-growth, we've heard from the Senate that they want to try to get a vote around this weekend because that July 4th self-imposed deadline is next Friday. So we're on the big, beautiful bill. And then, of course, any other fallout, Trump's at NATO. He's really boosted all of these countries to spend 5% of their GDP on defense. And 22 countries are, nine are not, at least above the 2% target. So he has pressured the world to do so, and they are following through. And then we'll see if there's any more fallout as well from the Israel-Iran ceasefire. So it's just a light day, to say the least.
Just, nothing going on at all. We're just kind of waiting to see what's going to drop next. It's crazy. Listen, Taylor, I know you got a busy morning. We appreciate your time. Thank you.
Always my pleasure.
Yeah, take care of yourself. Taylor Riggs there live for us from Big Bunny Show. You know, Kim, when we have more time with her, you two should commiserate over your dual pregnancies.
I was thinking about that because I'm pretty sure she might be just a few weeks, maybe like 4 or so weeks, 5 weeks ahead of me, which means her due date is coming up very quickly because I'm about to be 31
weeks. I saw
her
on set. They had her on set on Fox and Friends First with Todd Pyro the other day. Earlier this week, I'm pretty sure she was on set with them one morning, filling in for somebody else who's normally does business for them, and she was visibly pregnant. Even though they used to have the anchor chairs low enough that you could hide that for a while, now they put the tables lower and they raise the chairs up. So, and I'll tell you why they did this, because I remember going to anchor school up at Magid, and they would tell you that too many news anchors use the desk as a crutch, and they wanted you to get away from that. So they lowered the desks and they raised the chairs so that you wouldn't be tempted to lean down on the desk or put your hands on it or whatever it was, like a crutch. So now you can't hide those things. And I did notice that the other day that she looked pretty, although she's in great shape,
and
don't get me
wrong.
She's
tiny, too.
But she looked pretty obviously pregnant. So.
Well, it's funny because, you know, people, I'm at the stage now in pregnancy where there's no guessing. You know when, like, you're looking at a woman and you're like, is she pregnant? I don't want to say it because I don't want to be
wrong.
You
don't dare say it.
People are just asking me, like, oh, when's your due date? There's no hiding it right now because it looks like I shoved a beach ball in my shirt and I'm kind of at the waddling stage now. I also threw my back out, but a lot of factors. I'm basically in full-on, like, penguin walking.
I'm following
period.
Kim down the hall here, one of the breaks, and I would never use the term waddling, but that
okay,
probably
but
might describe
it.
And she goes, "I'm not waddling because of the baby. I hurt my back." Okay,
you know, just casual threw my back out.
Just something else to mess with you during this whole thing.
I feel really good right now.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure. Plus, it's going to be 100 today.
Oh,
so.
That's just as icing on the cake.
I know. That's perfect. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to be back in just a minute. Stay tuned. All right, a socialist has won the Democratic primary for mayor in New York. That, if you can believe it.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
That is the reality that they're waking up to in New York City today. I don't know how, but this guy, play cut number 15, won more Democrat votes than Andrew Cuomo, the former governor of the state.
And Mayor Mamdani, would you welcome Prime Minister Netanyahu to New York City for the for whatever he comes for, given the U.S. is not a signatory to the ICC, so he can travel to the U.S., unlike a lot of other countries. Would a Mayor Mamdani welcome Benjamin Netanyahu to the city?
No. As mayor, New York City would arrest Benjamin Netanyahu. This is a city that our values are in line with international law. It's time that our actions are also.
Even though the U.S. is not a signatory to the ICC?
No, it's time that we actually step up and make clear what we are willing to do to showcase the leadership that is sorely missing in the federal administration.
A socialist Muslim is about to be the mayor of New York City. He's a declared socialist. He wants to socialize private businesses, make them public owned grocery stores and other things. He's promising wage hikes for public service employees and other people that he can't back up because he has no power to do that. And now he's threatening to arrest the prime minister of a foreign nation when he comes to the United Nations building in New York City. I hope Donald Trump locks the guy up if he gets elected and tries to do some silly thing like that, because mayors cannot enforce. Number one, they can't enforce immigration crap. We're also not a signatory on that stupid international criminal court that they have over in Europe. So none of what they try to rule on over there affects us. And this idiot thinks he could arrest Benjamin Netanyahu. He's a pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas idiot. And he may be the next mayor of New York. Now, the only chance is he won the Democratic primary. Eric Adams could choose to run for re-election, or Curtis Sliwa, who's actually been on Fox this morning, might run again. He's one of the guys who has been a big name up there for many years on the streets, one of the guardian angels out helping people who've been victims of crime. He's well known in New York. I guess there's a possibility enough common sense people might come out and vote against this Mamdani idiot. It's unbelievable. All right. Just want to quickly remind you about something, because I haven't had a chance to talk about it today. If you are a supporter of the Second Amendment, if you own a 9mm weapon, listen to me. My friends at the Range St. Louis West are giving away 5,000 rounds of 9mm ammunition on July 1st. The deadline then is June 30th for you to get your name in the hat. It's free. You don't have to buy anything. You just go to their website, but it's only for my listeners. So I'm going to give you the address. It's therangestl.com/ammo. Therangestl.com/ammo. Enter your name and your phone number, and you have a chance. Five different people are going to win 1,000 rounds of 9mm ammo. You can't beat it. They're doing it to celebrate America's upcoming 250th anniversary of freedom. So go get your name in the hat, and good luck to you. I hope more and more people sign up, because the deadline is quickly approaching now, since it's already the 25th day of June. All right, it's going to do it for us. I've talked till I'm out of time. How about that? Brian Kilmeade's coming up next. The latest from New York. Maybe what's going on in that crazy mayor's race up there. These people are insane. I just can't believe it. A little later today, Annie Fry's in here. Then, of course, we round out the day with Mark Reardon. Have yourselves a great Wednesday. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.